Again, a happy Thanksgiving Eve to you all. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some years ago, actually wasn't that too long ago, I guess, it was in New Jersey, a couple took in a homeless grandson and brought him up, took care of him. The grandfather eventually turned the deed of the house over to him with the understanding that he and the grandmother could stay in it as long as they lived. But later, in their old age, they were evicted. The grandson had sold the house right out from underneath them and pocketed the money. What ingratitude! Sounds undoable, doesn't it, to us? But let me ask you, have we ever sold the house out from underneath God in our lives? This grandson sounds like he could be maybe one of the nine in tonight's gospel lesson who didn't come back and give thanks to Jesus for their healing from leprosy. These nine missed out on the blessing that comes from giving thanks to God. Tonight's gospel lesson is about the blessing upon blessing that comes to us because God chooses to give it, not because we demand or presume upon it like the grandson did. Listen again to just verses 15 to 18. One of them, when he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Now, I know we talked about this guy and his 9 buddies about a month ago or so, but tonight, with Thanksgiving being tomorrow, we need to look at this again, but from a bit different perspective. I think this foreigner, this Samaritan, who comes back to thank Jesus, I think he's a Lutheran. I'm convinced of it. I'm sure he was a Lutheran. You know, not only because, it's not because he returned to Jesus crying out with a loud voice. Heavens, no, that wouldn't work. But it was because he returned to Jesus to give thanks. Now, the only reason he would have done that is if, after noticing he was healed, he'd have asked himself the good Lutheran question that we all learned in catechism. Very good. Oh, you guys are good. Yes, what does this mean? What does this cleansing mean? He must have asked himself that. What does it mean that this man, Jesus, answered our cries for healing? What does it mean? There is only one answer to that. Jesus had to be the Son of the living God of heaven. That could be the only explanation. These 10 men all cried out for a miracle from God, and they received it simply by asking. Simply by asking. With his words, "Go and show yourselves to the priests," Jesus answered their prayer. Now, Luther has said of this episode of Jesus that leprosy wasn't a sin, but that it signified sin. That's important to remember. Leprosy was no sin. Now, that's not to say that this man wasn't a sinner, but rather that neither Jesus nor this man attributed his having the disease to anything other than simply having the disease. And in that way, this man's leprosy truly does represent sin. Sin is something we all have and need to be cleansed of. And sin is the disease that Jesus cured on the cross for everyone, forever. Jesus spoke, and these 10 men were physically cured. Jesus healed by his divine word of power, power that our Lutheran Samaritan friend recognized as the power that could only be from God. This man realized. He realized that and he returned to give glory to God. In the same way, Jesus spoke our healing as he was dying on the cross. He spoke the words, "It is finished." And those words are our healing from sin, with no less power than when he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Jesus spoke our healing from sin as something fully completed, as he did his healing work for us on that cross. A friend of mine wrote some years ago, "In a world filled with a fix-yourself mentality, Jesus is a refreshing truth. Some things you just can't fix yourself." Jesus knows there are things in our lives, things that we've done, and things that have been done to us that we just can't fix. I like what he said there. And that, of course, points to all of the sin in our lives. All of the sin. We just can't fix that ourselves. And hear this. Not only the sin we do is unfixable by us, so also is the sin that is done to us. Not unlike those 10 lepers' sickness. I was at the pastor's conference last week, and I heard the story of a woman who had had an abortion, who finally came to understand that God had indeed forgiven her for that great sin. But she was still troubled in her conscience. You see, she had been raped, and that is what had led to the unwanted pregnancy. It was her sense of uncleanness, of being violated, that left her still feeling shameful and dirty, and yes, even guilty. But her pastor took her to 1 John 1:9, which says, "If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Now, the pastor kindly and gently pointed out that John speaks of being purified from all unrighteousness. He made sure she understood that included the sin against her. That there is no shame, there is no uncleanness, no unrighteousness, no guilt that is not covered by the blood of Christ. So when she heard absolution from then on, she was to hear also that any sin against her had been cleansed and removed by Christ from her. Now the pastor was also caring enough to point out that having Jesus take away our sin, we're not to go reaching for them again. Those sins are not ours any longer. I was glad to hear that true story that the pastor told. When God declared the blood of Jesus to be sufficient for all sin, it means just that for each of us. We no longer return to our sin and claim it again. I'm not saying we will never sin again or ever again be sinned against, but that all sin, confessed and absolved, is no longer yours. It now belongs to Jesus. He has bought and paid for it by his blood shed on the cross. So Jesus comes. Jesus comes to us with his healing and forgiveness. And he acts before we even ask. He comes to us in the words of absolution saying, "I forgive you. Go in peace." And with his words, he sends us, like the lepers, on our way, totally clean, totally restored. So the Samaritan, since he returned thanks, he received this blessing that Jesus gave to just him. He said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." In returning to give thanks for the work of God's healing in his life, this Samaritan received a blessing that was missed by the other nine. The guy who came back to give thanks got blessed yet again. Even our giving thanks is an opportunity that God can use to bless us. Giving thanks is always a good thing. Now, I know that I've told this story before, but being Thanksgiving Eve, it bears repeating. A doctor decided to write and thank a boyhood school teacher for awakening in him a love of poetry, English poetry. Weeks later, the woman wrote back to him. She said, "I want to let you know what your note meant to me. I'm an old lady in my 80s, living alone in a small room like the last leaf on a tree. I taught 50 years, yet in all that time, yours is the first letter of appreciation I have ever received. It came on a blue, cold morning and cheered my lonely heart as nothing has in many years." From that time on, the doctor wrote thank you notes to many people for the little things and many favors shown to him over the years. Perhaps as you share thanks around your Thanksgiving table tomorrow, you can come up with a few people in your life that you might write a note of appreciation to. Remember, our Lutheran Samaritan friend, return to express appreciation for God, giving him new life, a restored life that up until then had been lost to disease. We also give thanks to God that our lives, lost to sin, have been restored by his gracious work and his powerful word of forgiveness. My prayer for each of us is that as we around our tables tomorrow thank God for his many blessings to us, that we would remember that all our guilt has been cast under the shadow of the cross, and that we would, like the Samaritan, realize that only the power of God could accomplish that miracle. So we too return thanks to him and receive from him the further blessing of an even closer relationship with God that he longs for us all to know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth